I'd like to speak on this topic today to make a long story short. Now, you know I'm not into things short, right? The long story is ours. The short story is the story of Zacchaeus. But what I want you to see is that Zacchaeus' story is told kind of as a focal story that's really a story for us that unfolds throughout our life. Ours is the long story, Zacchaeus the short story, but it's the same story. You start out with a man who has trouble seeing. And I want to say, just by way of gratitude to God and to my eye doctor, but I had a this is my first week wearing my new glasses. I've been needing a new prescription, y'all. I could only see halfway into the church, and everything beyond was a blur, you know. And now I can see straight to the back of the church. Now I see y'all. But it's an amazing thing. But the story of Zacchaeus's blindness. It's not a blindness, actually. It's just he can't see. It says because he's short in stature. And our tendency would be just to sort of take the story at face value and say, well, the guy's short, so he climbed a tree and all this. But you're missing, if you do that, that there's a lot of symbolism here for us not to miss. Because Zacchaeus' problem isn't his physical eyes as much as his moral vision. His moral vision. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector of the town, and Jericho was a prominent town. And I'm just going to say to you, as I've said to you before, tax collectors were not nice guys, all right? The Romans hired them because they got things done. The Romans, they shook people down for the taxes, they made sure the taxes were paid, and they took a cut for themselves. And he's not just any tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. To put it in maybe more modern terms, he's kind of like a godfather. I don't mean at baptism, I mean, I got a deal that you cannot refuse. That kind of a godfather. Probably a mobster, or whatever terms we would use today. And this is a picture of a man who's quite crippled in his sin. There is a reason that tax collector was a euphemism for great sinner. And I won't say it to every single man, but as a general norm, these were tough guys, and they weren't. They tended to extort money, they exploited the poor and the vulnerable, and they rewarded the rich, and this is how it worked. Now, this man hears that Jesus is coming through Jericho. And it simply says to us that I would start to this gospel with you by observing this quality. We start out with this image of a short-sighted sinner. But again, although it's told as a physical problem, he's short. And because there's a big crowd, he can't see, so he climbs a tree. There are two things that we see here. He's physically short, and also there's a crowd. Now, I want to just mention the crowd and set it aside because I want to focus more on his height. But one of the reasons he can't see Jesus is because of the crowd. Now, remember, y'all, we are Zacchaeus. We're the great sinner. And one of the reasons that a lot of us struggle to see Jesus is because of the crowd. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that very often, too many of us are influenced and mesmerized and overly impressed with whatever's trendy, whatever's fashionable, whatever the crowd says, see? And on account of that, we have a hard time seeing and hearing Jesus. And you gotta move past that kind of stuff, because what is popular is not always right, and what is right is not always popular. But too often, we take our clues from the crowd, and not from the Lord. And again, it creates a deafness and an inability to see the Lord. So I just say that in passing. Let's now look, though. He's small in stature. But my brothers and sisters, move beyond the physicality. And just let's say he comes up short in terms of his moral life. He comes up short. He's a sinner. He's not just physically short, he comes up short in terms of justice. He comes up short in terms of his own personal moral life. And so do we. The main thing that blinds us from seeing God is our sin. And the reason Zacchaeus can't see Jesus isn't physical, but it's moral and it's spiritual. Now, let me give you some scriptures to show you this. I'm going to read just a number of them. Here's one from Psalm 40. O Lord, my iniquities have overtaken me, so I cannot see you. So you see the connection. My iniquities, my sins, have overtaken me, so now I cannot see you. All right, my sin blinds me from your beautiful truth. Likewise, again, Zephaniah chapter 1, the Lord says, I will bring distress on this people, so that they will walk around like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. So again, sin brings a kind of spiritual blindness that makes us stagger around in sinfulness and in error. Or again, from Isaiah 44, these people do not know and they do not discern, for God has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their minds so that they cannot understand on account of their sins. So again, they cannot see on account of their sins. Or again, from Lamentations chapter 4, because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests who shed blood within her in the very sanctuary, my people now grope about through the streets like men who are blind, like men who are blind. Again, you cannot go on as we have in our culture shedding blood, innocent blood, blood of unborn children, and think that we're not going to stagger around in a kind of a spiritual blindness that overtakes us. And there's a great darkness upon our land. And again, much of this from this text is traced to the shedding of innocent blood. And not just infants, but many who are alive and well. Likewise, unless one is born again by, Jesus says this in John chapter 3, unless one is born again by water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We have to have our sins washed away in order to see the kingdom of God. And finally, this quote from Matthew 5, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see the Lord. Blessed, again, the blessing of seeing comes from purity. So, you see the vision I present to you, that this short-sighted sinner, Zacchaeus, cannot see the Lord. The text says because he is short, but I'm trying to help you to see beyond the physicality. The point is he comes up morally short, and that's his biggest problem. And that's our biggest problem. We too can so easily fall short of what God has for us to see. So we start out, therefore, we who would be Zacchaeus, and look at him as his short story is our longer story. And we start out, we struggle with our sins. Our sins tend to blind us. Our sins make us think, well, God's ways are unreasonable, or God is wrong, or the Bible is wrong, or the church is wrong because it's old-fashioned. And this all comes back to a kind of a sinfulness that blinds us from the truth. And that goes on in our life. Well, Zacchaeus finds relief. And where does he find it? We go from seeing this short-sighted sinner to finding a saving sycamore, a sycamore tree. He climbs a sycamore tree, it says. And by the way, I've been to Jericho a couple of times now, and I'm going to go in March. If you know anyone who wants to go to the Holy Land with me and Patrick Coffin, we're going to go in March and take a group from all over the country with us. And we're going to be going in March, as I say. And as you're driving to Jericho, there's this big sycamore tree with a big fence around it. It's not old enough to be the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climbed, all right? Everybody admits that. But it's something there that as you drive in, and there's that sycamore. You say, oh, this is where it happened. This is the town. And there you are in this desert oasis. Now, Zacchaeus climbs this sycamore tree. Brothers and sisters, what is the significance of the tree? It's the cross. It's the cross. How are we going to be freed of our sins so that we can see God, understand his ways, and come and have clearer and clearer vision, morally speaking, spiritually speaking, by going to the tree of the cross, by embracing it, by embracing its branches. And the Lord meets us at that cross. It says here that Zacchaeus climbs this tree in order to be able to see Jesus, and so we have to climb the tree of the cross. And isn't it a beautiful thing that this is again where the Lord will meet us? But we go to the foot of the cross and we say, Lord, my biggest sin is I don't know half my sins. But Lord, I ask your mercy. I ask your grace. I'm a sinner. I'm weak. I tend to want things that I know are harmful. I want things in overabundance. I struggle. I can be petty, selfish, egotistical. I can be greedy. Lord, there's so many things, but I come to you and I ask you to go to work in my life. We go to the foot of the cross. So as Zacchaeus realizes he's short of stature, he's come up short in his moral life and can't see Jesus, he climbs the tree, and so must we. Run to the cross, my brothers and sisters. Spend time meditating before the cross, even if it's just in your mind. I hope you have a crucifix in your home, but I hope there's somewhere where you can go and just lay yourself out at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I like to think I'm doing fine, but Lord, I know you're very holy. Lord, I know there are many things that keep me from seeing you. So we've gone from a short-sighted sinner, and we've come now to the saving sycamore. And sure enough, that leads to the sanctifying Savior. Sure enough, as Zacchaeus runs to that tree, Jesus is there. And Jesus meets us at the tree of the cross. He meets us. And he says, in effect, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, I see you in the tree. Come down. And he makes an offer. Zacchaeus, I will stay at your house today, and you and I will have a meal together. And Zacchaeus is so moved by that. Now, in order to understand, again, the richness of this, we have to sort of shed some of our cultural trappings today. For most of us, a meal is something we might even be driving and throw back a hamburger while we're driving. You know, we eat on the run. We'll sit in restaurants and, you know, just eat with complete strangers. And to us, eating is just something you get done. But in the ancient world, and even in many parts of the world today, a meal is a sign of intimacy. A meal is you would eat meals with people you knew and loved. This has gone away largely in our culture. You know, isn't it so tragic that this great sign of intimacy, where there's teaching and where there's sharing of what's going on in your life, what's happening, has largely gone away. So many families never eat meals together. But these were times when a family would gather with intimacy, would call upon God and the grace, and then sit down and they would say, what's going on? What's happening in your life? And yes, there'd be some fighting too. Isn't it sad? So sad that in most of our families this almost never happens, or happens so rarely. Now, you see, what's happened to us is that we've missed the beauty of what Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus here. Because you didn't just eat a meal with anybody. That's why people are saying, man, this guy's going to the house of a sinner and having a meal with this guy. This guy sits down with sinners and eats with them. Because in that culture, to eat was something you only did with intimate, close friends and family. It was considered a very sacred act. And it was a time of intimacy. It was a time of relationship. It was done only with those who were close. And so Jesus, meeting Zacchaeus at this tree of the cross, says, Zacchaeus, this cross has the power to put sin to death in your life. But you know, it's the beginning of something that I want to continue with you. I want now to become a member of your family, and I want you to become a member of my family. Zacchaeus, let me into your life. And let me into your life, and let's go to work. And that moves Zacchaeus, as we will see in a moment. It moves him deeply, and I hope you can start to see why now. Because in the ancient world, eating was more than throwing back a hamburger while you're driving somewhere. It was something very unique and special. It signifies relationship. And you and I, who are ourselves short-sighted sinners, who struggle to see because of our sin, but hopefully have enough wisdom to run to the saving sycamore, to the saving wood of the cross. And Jesus meets us there and says, yes, this cross has the power to put sin to death in your life and to bring grace and mercy alive. You'll see sins put to death. You'll see virtues come alive. You're going to see your life change by the power of this cross. But even more than that, we meet Christ at that cross. Our Catholic crosses are never empty. Christ is always there. Because it is more than a piece of wood. It is where we find the heart of Christ. And he says, now, let me enter into your life, and you enter into mine, and let's start to see how your life is changed. That leads us into the fourth and the final step in this gospel. We've seen a short-sighted sinner. We've seen a saving sycamore and a sanctifying Savior. Now, we see a started surrender. Now, why do I say that? Because Zacchaeus is excited. The Lord has touched his heart, and now he's making lots of resolutions. And, you know, wonderful though they are, they're only a beginning. So Zacchaeus says, oh, and he's so moved, he says, I move now to see my life changed. And Lord, if I've defrauded anybody, and he's defrauded a lot of people, all right? If I've defrauded anybody, I pay them back fourfold. And I have my possessions, I just give to the poor. See what's happening to Zacchaeus as he meets Christ at the cross. And Christ starts to go to work in his life. He's now shedding his sins, not because he has to, but because he wants to. He's now walking in the way of the Lord, not because, well, I have to, and but he wants to. He's enthusiastic. See, that's the normal Christian life, isn't it? To be enthusiastic and grateful to God and excited about what he's doing in our life. See? Oh, man, I don't know if I want to do all that. That might mean I have to get up earlier. I might have to watch less TV and pray more. And, oh, man, I have to give up some of my favorite sins. And, you know, the way you hear some Christians talk, huh? But the normal Christian life is, oh, Lord, thank you. You can take these sinful drives that are destroying me and destroying other people and through me, and you can put them to death and bring something new alive. And so Zacchaeus is enthusiastic. He's excited, but he's only just begun. Because you've heard me before on this. He starts to sing an old gospel hymn. I surrender half. Half to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender half. Yes. You see, as exciting as, remember, this is a very focal story. It's a short story about our longer story, isn't it, right? You and I, we sing that hymn. Come on, y'all. You're fibbing a little when you sing it, aren't you? Come on. I know. Come on. You're fibbing some when you sing that song, right? We might even sing it today in church. But look, to put it more positively, sometimes we sing things in hope. In hope. One day, Lord. I'm holding some stuff back, Lord. I'm not quite ready to let go. But all right, Lord, I'm on the way because you've gone to work in my life. And you know, it may take our deathbed to finally surrender it all, huh? But the Lord will do that for us, see? All these attachments, whether they're sinful attachments or just worldly attachments that aren't evil, but just excessive and that hold us back. Whatever these attachments, we're going to let go of them one by one. The Lord breaks the chains link by link, see? And he'll do that for us, see? So we're not really so much fibbing as we're singing in hope. This one day, Lord, I will. But for now, I think we all accept and we admit we're holding a few things back. We're not quite ready to surrender all. And that's an honest thing to say to the Lord at the foot of the cross. Just go there and say, Lord, I sang this song in church today, and I was kind of fibbing, you know, when I did, you know. In fact, I was just outright lying a little. But help me, Lord, because I know I'm supposed to get there. And you can do that, Lord. You can do that for me, see. All right. So today, we've seen Zacchaeus, but we are Zacchaeus. And we are often, we start out as that short-sighted sinner. But thank the Lord, we know how to. You've come today to the foot of the cross. Here you are. There he is. You're at the foot of the cross. You go to the saving sycamore, the foot of the cross. And you hear again from Jesus through my feeble voice, but you hear Jesus. And it's, in effect, you start to hear the sanctifying Savior as he speaks to us at the foot of the cross. And we see him continue to go. We say, all right, Lord, you come to my house. Come to my house, Lord, and let's share a meal. Let's have that intimacy. Let's have that deep relationship that grows ever deeper and ever more intimate as the years go by. You do what you need to do, Lord, to save me. And all that's a very beautiful story. And it's a short story for Zacchaeus today. It's a longer story for us. Are you making the journey, brothers and sisters? See? I know that we're not always ready to just snap our fingers and be a completely different person. And of course, we can't. And even the Lord won't do that to us. He works gently and steadily if we let him. Gently and steadily. He will not do violence to us. He simply says, come. Let me come to your house. Let me join your family. And you join my family. And through a saving relationship, let me go to work in your life. I hope you're a witness that he's done a mighty good thing so far. You're not what you want to be, but you're not what you used to be. Amen? Maybe you've seen some sins put to death, some sinful attitudes that you used to have that you don't have anymore. Places I used to go, the old song says, places I used to go, I don't go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more, you know? We see that the Lord's at work, and there are some sins that still stubbornly persist. But the Lord will work through all these things. So today, to make a long story short, we looked at Zacchaeus. But our story is much longer. It unfolds for our whole life. I simply say to you that I'm trying to get to that place, and I hope you are too, where one day you can sing without fibbing, Lord, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. Amen.